Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. I tell you, such time of worship like that, it's dangerous to stop it, you know? Anything can happen in those kind of worship like that. And the prayers, and His goodness, His mercy, and His love, and that peace. Hallelujah. What do you say about that peace, huh? It's awesome peace, isn't it? The glory of God is all over you right now. And it's something that you just got to get used to. Amen. Just got to get used to His glory, His love, His peace. Because we've been talking about it. Peace has a purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Peace has a purpose. And then the peace came. And then the peace came. When? After I stopped doing it. After I left that behind at the foot of the cross. After I left that at Calvary. After that time, the peace came. I left it. And then the peace came as a witness that I had done something good. That I had done the right thing, and God wanted me to know that I did the right thing. And the peace came. The peace is that anointing. Hallelujah. The peace is that anointing that is indescribable. It's a peace. No matter what the storm is, whatever the desert is, it doesn't make a difference. We begin to look into that a couple of days ago, and we begin to see how sometimes He takes His peace away from us, like He did for Hezekiah. The Bible says He took His peace away so that He could determine to try Hezekiah and know what all that was in Hezekiah's heart. So that Hezekiah would know. God knew already. Are you with me? And sometimes we don't have that peace. But why we don't have this peace is for us to know. He's trying us. He's testing us for us to recognize that something's wrong with our heart. Something's wrong. Something is in there. Our meditations, our desires, our plans, our pursuits, our ambitions. They don't line up with His. And we become miserable because it's not happening. It's not working. And the peace is not there at all. But it has a purpose. Let's turn our Bible to 1 John chapter 2. We were in there for a little bit. Let's go back. 1 John chapter 2, the verse is 27. The Bible says, "But the anointing which we have received of Him abided in you." So the anointing is not from you. It's not off you. It's from Him. It's off Him. It abides in you and in me. Are you with me, church? From that day we say, "I receive you, Lord Jesus." That's when the peace stepped in as a witness. And we receive Christ. The peace stepped in. And we begin now to walk in peace. Because you know exactly what you were like before you got born again. Stop pretending now. Are you with me? You knew exactly what you were like, weren't you? I mean, I was an outlaw. My God, I was miserable. I was trying to do everything to make it right, and it was wrong all the time. Are you with me, church? And that's what it was. And He says now, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not any man teach you. But the same anointing teaches you all things." So you need not that any man teach you that you're in with God, or you're walking with God, or you have the peace of God, or you have the anointing of God, or you don't, because the anointing will tell you, you don't have it. Are you with me, church? And you know you don't have it because you're out with God and things are not right. It's not happening. And that's the purpose of the anointing, is to teach you all things. It tells us right here. But the same anointing teaches you all things, not some things. And it's true. There's no lie. And even as it had taught you, you shall abide in Him. So here we see the purpose of the anointing is to teach us all things. Hallelujah. And my peace is when I'm with God, when I'm in with God, and I'm doing what is right with God, and I'm doing that thing that God tells me to do, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing it right. I'm not doing it wrong. If you do what God tells you to do, if you do it wrong, you still don't have the peace. Are you with me? That peace is the anointing. It's the presence. He moves in that peace. And that's very powerful, because many of us think the way he says in John, he says 14, he says, "The peace I gave you is not like the world."
not like the world gives it unto you.
Now, there's some times that I'm going to think you're absolutely right. I know what I'm doing. I know. Yes, you could have done it 10 times this way and it made you feel good. But it doesn't mean it's right. So you may show, I'm absolutely right what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing, and I'm doing it right. I know exactly. Sometimes I'm absolutely right, and you begin to beat, and you begin to beat that donkey that you rode in on. You begin to beat that donkey because you're doing it right. And we come to find out, let's take a look, for example. Let's take a look at that donkey that we beat in Numbers chapter 22. Hallelujah. You remember Balaam? In the book of, and that donkey could be your salvation. Numbers chapter 22. We're going to drop in the 26th verse. And the Bible says here, in Numbers 22 and the 26th verse, and the angel of the Lord went forth and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. See this for yourself now. I like to look at the Old Testament because in the Old Testament, the people had to see, had to touch, had to feel, had to taste. Are you with me? Before they believe. And some of us are still like that today. We got to bring them from that level to bring them in the spiritual realm, which is the new. Are you with the church?
Yeah.
So let's look for our foundation and then we'll go into the realm of the spirit. So here it is. He says now, and the angel of the Lord went forth and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass and said, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. I will... The guy's crazy. I mean, he's talking to his donkey. You know something wrong. You know this guy's out with God. Are you with me, church? Because his donkey is trying to get his attention. Are you with me, church? Think about that. Now, how many of us need a donkey to speak to us? For us to understand we're out with God. And you're riding on that revelation. And you're riding on that revelation. It's not working. All of a sudden, you begin to beat that donkey because you're right. And this is what he's saying here. He says now, and I would that there were a sword in my hand, for I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass? Well, we should change that. Am I not your donkey? Am I not your donkey? Upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was unto thee this day? Was I ever wont not to do unto thee? And he said, no. The guy said, no. He said, didn't I do everything you asked me to do? Have I ever gone against you? He said, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and the sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went to withstand thee. Listen to this, church. When you're out with God, He is going to withstand you. Come on now. I say when you're out with God, He is going to withstand you. I want to say it one more time. When you're out with God, He's going to withstand you. You're either with Him or you're not with Him. You can't be in between. Are you with me, church? That's what Jesus said. You church, Laodicea, you got to be hot or you got to be cold. But you can't be lukewarm because I'm going to spew you out. I'm going to spit you out. So you got to decide if you're with or without Him. He says, now, and the angel said, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy ways is perverse before me. And ask for me and turn from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I also had slain thee and saved her life. Think about it for a minute. What donkey are we riding on? Who are we beating? Because we're out with God. Some of us decide to beat our wives. Wham! Beat our husbands. Whew. Beat the boss. Beat him. Beat her. Beat the pastor. Because we're out with God, but we want to whip that guy because we're sure that we're right. Are you with me, church? Yeah. I know you guys don't beat anybody around here. The government. Blame everybody. Because we're looking for that answer outside. and the peace is not falling outside. And we turn on the donkey, we turn on this one, we turn on that one, trying to find that peace because God is withstanding you. You're out with God. And we're looking outside for it. But it's falling on the inside, isn't it? Let's look again. Psalm 50. Let's go to Psalm. I believe it's 51. Let's go back to Psalm 51. Verse 6. It says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inner parts." The anointing is true. The peace is true. "And in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom." So you're out with God. You begin to beat the donkey. The same revelation you rode in on, the same peace you rode in on, all of a sudden, and that thing is your salvation. That thing is what helping you. The very thing you're beating, your wife who's trying to tell you the truth, your husband who's trying to tell you the truth, the pastor who's trying to tell you the truth, the government who's trying to tell you the truth, him who's trying to tell you the truth, her who's trying to tell you the truth, the same person who releasing the peace of God to you is the same one you're beating because you show that you're right. Hallelujah. But you're out with God. But the revelation, the donkey has the revelation. The donkey has the right, has the peace. And he's trying to save you, trying to save me. But that person is out with God. Now let's take a look at somebody who's in with God. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings. Chapter 6. We're going to drop in the 15th verse. The Bible says, "And the servant of the man of God." Here's a very, very awesome story here. We see Elisha. And the enemies of Israel, they're always planning and plotting to come against Israel. But then God is showing the man of God what they're talking, even in the bedroom of the king. And now this is being revealed. And each time they're about to come, Israel has the answer. Are you with me, church? Israel has the answer and they can't evade. And here it comes in verse 15. "And the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth. Behold, the host come past the city both with horses and chariot. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we go? Because now those evil boys, those bad boys, those gangsters came and said, let's go and get that prophet. We know who he is. It's a prophet that of Israel there. And he's telling us, he's telling the king. They said, go and arrest him. Go and get him. And here it is. They came to get him. And the Bible says in verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us." I want you to say, "They that be with us." "Are more than they that be with them." Are you with me, church? "They that be with us." Doesn't that give you a sense of peace? Come on now. Come on, church. Are you with me? "They that be with us are more than they that be with them. They should surely gather against you, but not of me, says the Lord." Hallelujah. He says here, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may what? See." This is a man who's in peace with God. A big old army is out there, and he's not worried. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. A big army is out there about to come and arrest him, invade, so they can get rid of him, and then they can attack the Jewish people. And here he says, now, forget that those guys out there. They don't know what they're doing. They're just a bunch of guys. They're more with us than with them. And Lord, open the eyes of my servant because he's afraid. He doesn't know what to do. He can't go to the right, can't go to the left. But then he says, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Pastor Bronk. Are you with me, church? According to your word. Are you with me, church? Because you're in with God. According to the word of Elisha. Because he's in with God. "Smite them with blindness that they will not see." Because you're in with God. Hallelujah.
That's the authority he's giving you when you eat with him. There's a guy called Alexander Dudaram. I don't remember where he was from. Those days they had the iron curtain up. He's probably dead by now, I don't know. But he was touring America years ago. And he was giving his testimony going from state to state. Alexander Dudaram. He used to pack his trunk with Bibles and take it into Russia. But they would stop them at the border. And he says, Lord, smite these guys that they don't see the Bibles. So many times, that guy made so many trips across the border. When he gets there, they will open the trunk. They will look, and they wouldn't see the trunk full of Bibles. And he drove them right in. He said it came such a way, he told the guy once, he says, I'm bringing Bibles. He already prayed the prayer, he was coming. He prayed the prayer. He told the guy, where you bring it? He said, I got a trunk full of Bibles. The guy said, yeah, right, pass. Go, keep going. Are you with me? Because he just keeps passing. I mean, smite their eyes with blindness that they will not see. These are the people that came down. He says, yes, smite their eyes. They came and they saw him, but they didn't know who he was. That's what we're talking about. They were not blind that they had to be led by the hands. Are you with me? They could see, but they couldn't understand. They could see, but they couldn't comprehend. Yes. Hallelujah. And this is what happened. He says, smite their eyes with blindness. And they smote the whole army. Because this man is in with God. And you know, listen to what happened. And they came down, and Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the men whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. He was the man they were looking for. They knew him, but he says, smite their eyes with blindness. Are you with me, church? And they smote his eyes with, that's the peace of the Lord. When you're walking in the peace of the Lord, the revelation that comes to you, you can win a battle. Are you with me, church? You can win a battle that you're facing because the revelation you're walking in is the revelation that controls your day. So he says, this guy you're looking for, I'm going to take you to him. Follow me. He takes them into Samaria. He takes them right into where the king is. And listen to this. And it came to pass that they were come into Samaria. And Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes. And they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. One man got a whole army blinded, led them by the nose. Right into the enemy's camp. And then God opened their eyes. Hallelujah. And the king of Israel said, listen to this, brought him right to Israel. And the king of Israel said, Elisha. Said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I kill them? Shall I smite them? And Elisha said, no, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those who has taken captives with the sword and with that bowl, set bread and water before them that they may eat and go back to their master. He said, let them know. You don't want to kill them. You already won the battle. Come on, church. Come on, church. Are you with me? Are you with me, church? Come on now. You got to think on this wise. It's the peace of God. Don't worry about the fight. You already won. Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
You already won the battle. But the revelation of which you're walking in must be married to the situation. If not, you're in trouble. You have a catastrophe. You have a bad situation. If you have the revelation, the revelation you're receiving here is not for these walls. Are you with me? It's not for these walls. It's when you walk out the door. That's when the revelation needs to take effect. You got barking dogs out there. You go take your car to repair. They want to cheat you. Are you with me, church? You got a neighbors playing their music loud and speaking nasty language at you. Come on now. You got bosses who don't like you. They don't want to pay you right. Are you with me, church? What kind of revelation do you have of God to meet that situation? You walk out the door, your car is stolen from the parking lot. Are you with me, church? What are you going to do? Come on now. I know what I'm talking about. Because my wife can tell you, I went on a business appointment one time in New York. And I came out, my car was stolen. In the back seat of the car, you know what kind of, we were reading this book already called Stolen Property Return. Hallelujah. That was awesome. Because we reported it to the police. The insurance company started investigating me, and I was an insurance man. I mean, it was funny. I said, what's wrong with these guys? And when the cops finally got caught, tracked the guy down, he was driving a car and driving towards the police station, so they put him on the radio. He's coming down this, and they all ran outside. The cops thought the guy was on foot. They all ran outside with their guns drawn, and the guy came past right by them in the car. Right, and they're all standing there with their guns drawn. It was crazy. I mean, crazy. But we got the car back because we called it back that night. When the car, when we stole the car, we just got on our knees and prayed, jumped on the train and went home. We didn't have no heart. We just jumped on the train and went home, prayed. They found the car. They found the car. And they found the man who arrested him. I went to court. Gave him 7 months. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is you got to be in with God. It's the peace. It brings you in with God. Yes. And when you're in with God, you have such authority. You have such favor with Him. Because now He's with you. Are you with me, church? Amen. But if you're like the guy who's riding the donkey and beating the donkey because the donkey is your savior, is your salvation, and you're trying to disturb and destroy it, just like in the garden, way back there. You know what he did? You know what he said? He said, "Is the woman that you give me, that gave me to eat, and I did eat the bread, I eat the apple." Are you with me? So he blamed God first, before. Once you blame God, "Lord, why is this happening to me? You are with God. Why is this happening to me? Lord, this shouldn't be happening to me. I come to church on Sunday. I give offerings. I give tithes. I do work in the church. I clean the church. I go do what I did. Why is this happening to me? It should not happening. It should not be happening to me." Now we're blaming God. Are you with me, church? When we're out with God, the very first thing you do when you blame God, when you're out with God, is the peace of God. He withdraws His peace because it's the peace of God. It belongs to Him. So He withdraws His peace when you step out with Him and you begin to blame Him. Same thing with Adam. From the time that he blamed God, God pulled His peace. He found Himself naked. Are you with me, church? So the very first thing whenever we fall out, we step out, we begin to want to blame somebody. How to beat the donkey, beat God, beat the brother, beat the sister, beat the husband, beat the wife. Because there's no peace. And the reason why is we're looking for it on the outside and not on the inside. Listen, peace comes from within. Peace comes from within. From the spirit of life that's working on the inside of you. There where you're going to find it. And all the answer is coming from within. Are you with me? It's coming from within. It's not coming from outside. Now, the pastor or the brother can walk up to you and say, "You know something? This is what God says. From without, he lays it on you." You say, "Yeah, that's God." Why? Because the peace on the inside of you witness to that. Sometimes it's even a rebuke, but you hate his face because he told you the truth. But yet on the inside, God is speaking to you and telling you that's the truth about you. Are you with the church? That's the truth about me, and you, and I know it's true. So we have issues, we have situations, we have challenges. Lemons, we call them. These challenges here is not, they're not such a bad thing at all, because they detest us to show us in our heart. Are you with me? Sometimes we call them trouble, but trouble isn't in trouble. Trouble is in your attitude towards the situation. That's where the trouble is. Are you with me? The trouble is in the attitude, is your attitude towards the situation. The trouble is not a trouble. It's not, there's trouble, but there's no trouble in trouble. Are you with me? I can't speak it any better. Are you with me, church? I can just speak it this way. There's no trouble in trouble, but trouble is in your attitude towards that situation that you call trouble. Come on now. You see? So, what God really wants to say, okay, it doesn't work. We call it a lemon. The car doesn't work, it's a lemon. You say, it's a trouble car. No, it's a lemon. Okay, but God says, take your lemon, let's make lemonade, and let's drink some lemonade. What he's trying to say is, change your attitude towards the problem. Change your attitude towards the situation, that my peace can rest on the inside of you, and I can give you the revelation so you can go beyond the trouble that you think you have. He said, let's drink some lemonade. Let's have a good time with this. I want to give you a revelation about how this thing works. Because your revelation is not for here, it's for the situations outside. So, it's in the attitude where the peace stays. It doesn't leave. Come on now. Are you with me? You walk outside, your car is stolen. What are you going to do? Oh my God. What am I going to do? I'm going to fix that person. When I get them, I'm going to hang them up and turn them around. Are you with the church? Think about that for a minute. What you did? You're out with God. Come on now. Who's miserable? He isn't. Come on, church. You're miserable, isn't that? The trouble now is with you. Your attitude has removed yourself from God, and all of a sudden the next thing you want to say, but God, I came to church. How can you let them steal my car? Now you understand what I'm talking about. I came to church. How do you let them steal my car? I was in church worshiping you, and they stole my car. What kind of God are you? Are you with the church? That's what I'm talking about. But you come out and stole my car. I said, oh my God, I feel sorry for that buddy. He's going to get born again. He's going to get saved. He's going to be delivered because Holy Ghost fall on him in that car. My God, there's Holy Ghost music. That car is sanctified unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, let him turn around and bring it back and repent in Jesus' name. Let the Holy Ghost fire that falls in this place saturate that car right now. Oh my God. Lord, arrest him by the angels of the Lord. Are you with me, church? That's the authority that changes things. That's why that's the Elijah effect. He says, Lord, smite these people with blindness. Hey, the guy you're looking for, come follow me. I'm taking you to him. Now you understand. The peace of the Lord. Church, come on. We have to go there. Peace has a purpose. It must be utilized in this revival that's coming. You're the one that's beginning to change things. You're the one that begin to change situations. You begin to change circumstances with the peace that's operating on the inside of you. You're the one begin to change your ages, your lifestyle. Begins to change. Because as you begin to understand it, the more authority God begins to pour into your life, begin to deliver it unto you, so that you can operate like he did. You see, in the book of John chapter 14, let's take a look. Verse 27. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Still there. Stay in that order, isn't it? John 14, verse 27. Here it is. He says, peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. Peace I leave with you. My peace, the peace of the Lord. The peace of God. He said, I give unto you, not as the world giveth. I give unto you. Let not your heart. Are you with me, church? Your heart be what? Troubled. Trouble should never be found in your heart. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So trouble is not in trouble, but trouble is in your heart. Are you with me? Why is it in your heart? Because it's the attitude towards the situation. You either receive it or you create an atmosphere to deal with it based on the revelation that you're walking in. And that's where the change takes place. That's where the authority, that's where the peace remains. But if the trouble comes into the heart, you lose it with God. You're out. Because you look at the situation to be greater than what God can do. When he really wants you to look at it and say, let's make some lemonade. Let's make some lemonade. And drink some lemonade. This situation. Let's fix it. And you begin walking in that. All depends on the revelation you're walking in. In New York right now, you get up, it's cold. So you get up, you get in the car, you start your car, the engine begins to warm. You let the engine warm up, the windows are closed, and you begin to drive. You say, oh, my God, it's a foggy day today. My God, I'm going to drive a little slow because it's 45 miles an hour, and it's 55 miles an hour on this highway. I'm going to drive slow. The guys come past you. Boom! You say, look at those foolish guys. They're just driving crazy. They could just hurt somebody. Can't they tell it's a foggy day? You're driving. The guys come past you. Boom! And you said, my God, these guys are crazy. They're just bad drivers. They're going to have an accident some other way. You just got an attitude. You just drive it. And all of a sudden, you got a revelation. You say, let me clean this window. You clean the window. You find out that the windows is foggy. Your condensation fogged the windows up. Your own condensation fogged the windows up. Are you with me, church? I say, your own condensation fogged the windows up. And now you begin to have an attitude and in your heart. Are you with me, church? You're judging those guys that go boom when they are the guys who are doing the right thing. But there is no condensation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Who walk not after the flesh. Hallelujah. There is no condensation. You see what I'm saying? Now, this is what I'm talking about. You're beating your donkey. You're beating those guys that go past you. Because you're so right. But there's no peace in you. You think, oh my God. Are you with me, church? They're just going past and you're judging them. And you got an attitude for them. And you're miserable in your car because you're going 25 and they're going 45. And they're having a good time at it too. See the revelation that you walk in, how it controls your day? Your revelation was, it's foggy. But you forgot that you sat in your car, turned the engine on, and you didn't drop the windows. Trying to warm your car up. And it fogged the whole window up. So what are we saying here? Guard your peace. Hold on to it. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah 58 for a minute because God got a work for us to do. Jesus. Sometimes we end up in the wilderness. Here it is in verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Are you with me, church? Because where trouble is, there's no anointing. Where trouble is, if it's in your heart, there's no anointing. There's no peace. And there's wilderness. And there's trouble. There's dryness. There's a desert. God is not with you. And you're struggling. You're trying to make it through the desert. But you know there is a place, even though a man is standing in the desert, he can lift his hands up. Hallelujah. And turn that desert into a water garden. A well-watered garden, yes. Hallelujah. Here it is. Let's see. Here, Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. That is by that peace. That's how you follow into it. That by that anointing, by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And that's where it resides. Right in there. That's where God operates in there. That's where you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's where it rests. That's where it rests. It stays there. And satisfy thy soul in drought. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring water. Listen to this, church. And you, when you find your peace, you will be like a watered garden. Are you with me, church? If you let God lead you continually, continually, not spottedly. Are you with me, church? Not spottedly, not here a little, there a little, but continually as he adds here a little, there a little, continually. And he said, you will be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And you shall be, oh my God, and they that shall be of thee, your children, your house, your church, your business, shall build the what? The old waste places. Think about the broken down society. Think about the broken down families. Think about the broken down structure. Think about the family that has been destroyed. These things, those waste places, you just walk out the church, you will begin to see. You begin to see children lost, no foundation, churches preaching something else. But that's your job, to build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of how many generations? Many generations. That's the revival. Yeah. That's right. But it comes through the peace of God, not through only the pastor, through every single one of us, the least of us. I know who the least of us in this church is. He's the least of us. He's the one you walk in here, you just grab your feet. Come to church. Oh, you didn't get that right. Okay, you're going to get it. He's your servant. He's your slave. Are you with me? That's what makes him the least. But in the eyes of the Lord, he's the greatest. Why? They would come, Lord, we stand before. He says, Bronk. Yes, Lord Jesus. This is heaven. Yes, I can tell. It's heaven. What do you say about this one? Reward or no reward? He said, this one? Lord, I got to tell you the truth. Great reward. He's got something to say about you. Did you know that? He's got to give an account. Every one of you, he's got something to say about you. Today he's a slave. I said, today he's a slave. He's got something to say. That's why he's here. Because he's on his Lord's business. And Lord's going to ask him, what about this one? He says, yes, Lord. Yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This, oh, yes, Lord. Great reward. Do it. Do it, Lord Jesus. Yes. That's what he's talking about here. This peace is for us. It's for all of us. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
He says, now, and they that shall be of thee. They that shall be of thee. They that shall be of thee. Are you with me, church? They that, are we the day? We the day. We the day. And we also shall be of thee. Are you with me? We're the same ones they're talking about. And they that shall be of thee, the Bible says, shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations. That is to say, their doctrine, their lifestyle, everything, you shall raise it up to another level. Are you with me, church? Their foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the what? The repairer of the breach, or the repairer of the broken, or the repairer of those that were rejected. Those that have been forsaken. He said, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in, church. Because of the peace. And it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, removes the burden, and sets the captives free. It's the peace. It's in that peace. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, the problem with us is we understand we've been given the measure of faith. So we're always thinking in the form of a measure, of a measure, of a measure. But God has given the fullness of the Holy Ghost to us.
Yeah.
The fullness of the Spirit. We should stop thinking of a measure, of the measure, of a measure. Are you with me, church? He has given us the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, oh, you got the Holy Spirit in a measure. Yeah, what measure? The foot? Or the hair? Or the ear? I don't have it. I have the whole Holy Ghost. Are you with me, church? And you got the whole Holy Ghost. Are you with me, church? You have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's like a cup of coffee. If you get a cup of coffee and you put coffee in it, you got coffee, you got half coffee and half milk. Well, to have the fullness of it, you don't have full coffee in there, do you? You have to remove the milk. Now you have, and then you have to fill the cup of coffee up. It's like in a drought area, like in Chile, for example. You go into the restroom, in the bathroom, they take those little bricks and they put it in the reservoir, in the tank in the back there, and they build it up until it comes there, and they put the water in there, the water comes up. So when you flush the toilet, they can save water. Are you with me? They put little breaks in there to save water. But when you flush it, because the water comes high, you think it's a full tank. Are you with me? But you don't have a full tank. You only have a water come up, so the pressure of gravity can push it down and flush the water. But you probably got maybe a half tank of water in there. But there are breaks in there. And some of us got breaks in our revelation. Of who Christ is, of the peace of God, breaks in our revelation. You still don't have the fullness of it. You got to remove the bricks to have a full tank. You want a full cup of coffee, full cup of tea, you got to remove the milk. And then you see the fullness. So we got the Holy Ghost. Don't mix it. Are you with me, church? Come on now.
Hallelujah.
Don't mix this thing. Ooh, Jesus.
Can't mix it. Why? What am I talking about? It's because in every situation that gives us trouble, the first thing we should look for is to see God in it. Are you with me? If we can see God in that situation, we can find peace. Think about Elisha for a minute. The guy coming to, oh my Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, my Lord? What are we going to do? They're all around. They're here to get us. Think about, what are we going to do? Think about that for a minute. Elisha saw God in it. He says, let me tell you something. There's more with us than with them.
Yes.
So now open their eyes. So open his eyes so he can see. Okay, now I'll show you what God's going to do. Are you with me, church? I'll show you what God's going to do. Lord, smite their eyes. They don't see. Oh, you're looking for this guy? Come follow me. I'll take you to who he is. We've got to see God in every situation of our lives. Maintain our peace. Hallelujah, church.
Hallelujah.
Come on now. Got to see God in every situation that comes about in our lives. Maintain our peace. And this peace now will begin to, as you begin to see God, as soon as you see God, he begins to speak to you. Come on, church. Ah, as soon as you see him, he begins to speak to you. Are you with me, church? And that revelation where the bricks have been removed, you can see and you can hear and you can do according to what he called you to do. It's like the centurion. Remember the centurion? Italian man. He said, I'm a man under authority. I said to this one, come. He comes to this one, go. And I said, do this. And he does it. He said, just speak the word. And my servant will be healed. Are you with me, church? And that man understood something. He saw. Because why? When he came to Caesar, he stood before Caesar. He said, Caesar is Lord. And he knows something about that man. When he spoke Caesar, Lord, Caesar believed him. And his men believed him. That when he said, Caesar is Lord, the men believed him that he believed what he said, that Caesar is Lord. And Caesar believed him that he believed that he is Lord. And when Caesar believed him, Caesar knew he's Lord also. So Caesar decreed a thing that this man said that I'm Lord. So the man who's under authority under Caesar, Caesar brought his under over and put him over. Because you're under authority, you're under the presence of God, you're under the peace of God. God can put you over. Are you with me, church? He can put you over because your over comes from under. It comes from your under. So God sets him up. So Caesar sets him up over. So Jesus said, my God, I haven't seen anybody who understands this thing like that. This man got more faith. Why? Because he's under. He knows what God can do when you're under and you're under that peace. Are you with me, church? God can put you over any situation. Your over comes from under. Now, if you're too big to be led, you're too small to lead. If you're too big to be under, you're too small to be over. It's the peace. It's the peace. It's the peace of God. That's what Jesus, that's what blew Jesus' mind. Jesus said, my God, 95% of these people here don't even know what this man is talking about. He should just speak the word. Because the man's over now. Are you with me, church? He knew Jesus was over. So he just, are you with me, church? Jesus was already over. So he says, just speak the word because you're over. You've been under. Jesus has been under the Father's authority. Are you with me, church? And he's been receiving that. All the peace of God that he needed to receive. And they knew this man spoke. When he spoke with authority. They said, my God, when does God teach? He teaches with authority. Not like the scribes do. They said, where did you get this authority? Who gave you this authority? My God, who gave you? Who gave you? Who gave you? Who gave you this authority? You got this authority from being under. Are you with me, church? Under the peace of God.
Hallelujah.
That's where you got your authority from. That's where you got your breakthrough from. That's where you can tell the man, Lord, smite these people. Smite their eyes. Come and follow me. Let me take you to that man you're looking for. Lord, open their eyes now. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight, church? This is where we call. This is where you call to. This is where the peace does for you. This is where the peace brings you into a place of authority. It brings you into a place of dominion. It brings you to a place of being over. But God has really set you over. Last night we were exalted on witches here, which is nothing to be afraid of. Are you with me? We're not trying to exalt them. No, we're just trying to show you the signs. Are you with me? So when you see the signs, you say, I know what that means. I'm over that. It's not like, but what is it? I've never seen this before. Is this with God or with not God? Are you what I mean? Shall I or shall I not? None of that foolishness. I tell you, you see it, you understand it, you recognize it. Because my people perish for lack. My people perish for lack of knowledge. But the moment you know, you already know. And your knower knows that you know. Within your knower, you know that you know. Therefore, you can get over and you are over because of the peace that you walk in. That's where we are, church. Are you with me, church?
Hallelujah.
That's where we're walking. Are you with me, church? That's where we're walking. That's where God is pointing us, because there is nothing going to stop us now. There's a song called, Ain't No Stopping Us Now. I know you guys don't know that song, but I know that song. Ain't no stopping us now. We on the move. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church? We're on the move. We got to go. Are you with me, church? We got to go, church. I mean, everything about your home needs to change. Everything about your life needs to change. Everything about your business needs to change. Why? Because we used to have trouble in the trouble. But now there is no trouble in the trouble, church. The trouble is in us, in our hearts. But it's no longer in your heart. We have a change of heart. Hallelujah. We have a change of heart. So trouble can't be found in your heart. Fear can't be found in your heart. But the peace of God resides in you permanently. And things have changed. All those who are in Christ Jesus, all things have what? Passed away. And everything is what? Brand new.
Yes.
Glory. Hallelujah. Are you guys having a good time?
Yes.
Some of us need to check our peace meter. We need to check our peace meter. Woo! We got to check our peace meter. How are you going to react when you get out there and somebody stole your car? You're going to say, Lord Jesus, that boy is in some trouble. He doesn't know. My God. Thank you for salvation. This one is going to be saved. This one is going to be delivered. That's your authority, church. That's your authority. It's like dealing with your little ones, you know. It says, you can't go outside. No. Why? It's raining. Why? Because you got on a clean shirt. Can't go. Why? Because it's going to get wet. It's going to get dirty. Why? Because I'm going to visit Uncle Bronk and Auntie Candy, so you don't want to dirty your clothes. Why? Are you with me, church? That's how the little children are. You see? And some of us do that to our daddy in heaven. Why? All the time. Why? Are you with me, church? But that's not the case. When you speak to your little ones and you say, why? You say, because I said so. That's why. End of case. Are you with me, church? Because I said so. When you talk to your daddy, he says one thing and that's it. Oh, come on. When God speaks to you, he speaks and that's it. We shouldn't fool around with that. What do you like? Cornflakes? French fries? Potato chips? What's going to make you happy? This is going to make you sad. What's going to make you jump? Are you with me, church? That's how we treat people. And where's the authority with that? Are you with me, church? But when it comes to that point, you say, let me tell you something. This is what you're going to have. Hallelujah. Now we can understand something. Hallelujah. This is what you're going to have. Hallelujah. And that's what we're talking about, church. You're the church of Jesus Christ? Are you with me? You're the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. By the mighty God we serve. Yeah? We got it. Don't we have it? We got it already, church. You guys are at overload in Jesus' name. We got to pause. I know you're at overload. Whew. What a mighty God we serve.
Yes, Jesus. It's a silence that has life in it. These days are the days of life. saith the Spirit of grace. Well, surely these things that you're desiring yet have not seen have already been released from out of my spirit and out of my throne. So go on to possess these things. For soon faith will give way to victory, and the invisible to the things of sight. And then will you run faster and further. And now oftentimes moving at a speed that seems impeded by the things that surround you. But continue to go forward. For very soon the light that you're calling into existence will penetrate every area of your life, saith the Spirit of grace. And those that are moving forward will find that at a time when they least expect it, their confessions will begin to come to pass at a rate so rapid the answers to prayers will not be able to be counted by the multitude of things that are being answered around you, saith the Spirit of grace. For know this, that these things will slide into a place that you yourself have been looking forward for only by faith, but then sight. Sight is soon to be on the horizon. And then will your hearts rejoice and energize you to a place where all the more you'll increase. You'll increase running towards the things that you see. And as these things increase, you'll find that many who could not see will then begin to see with you. And you'll encourage those, by my grace, by my spirit, these things are well on their way, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah.